You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's Live Talk. I'm your host, Keith Martin. This week on the Corrections Connection, we're looking at technologies for the field of community corrections. Joining us today to discuss this topic is Joe Russo, Program Manager for Corrections for the National Law Enforcement and Corrections Technology Center, or NLECTC. Prior to this position, he served as a management analyst for the New York City Department of Probation. There, he implemented a grant from the Bureau of Justice Assistance to develop alternative to incarceration programming. He also played a key role in New York City's largest reengineering effort, providing analytical support to a team responsible for redesigning supervision policy and procedures for over 70,000 probationers. In addition, Mr. Russo currently serves as the chair of the American Probation and Parole Association Technology Committee in the Office of Science and Technology Corrections Working Group. Welcome to today's Live Talk, Mr. Russo.
Thanks, Keith. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Great. Can we talk first about how prevalent the use of technology is in community corrections? Are we seeing more innovation being used in the last decade or so?
Well, it's somewhat difficult to measure the prevalence of technology in community corrections. While it's playing a key role out there, the extent to which it's used varies quite a bit from technology to technology, and also from agency to agency. Some technologies, like electronic monitoring, have been used for 20 years now and are fairly commonplace. On the other end of the spectrum, you still have some agencies out there who use typing pools to generate reports. So there's a broad spectrum. What is certain, what is kind of the direction, is that the field of community corrections as a whole is definitely exploring a wide variety of new technologies and beginning to review technology as a critical tool to assist them in mission performance. Overall, there's been a dramatic increase in the use of technology, as well as the diversity of different technologies being explored. There are many reasons for this. Probably first and foremost is community corrections is simply following the direction of other industries. Technologies is advancing rapidly. Every day there seems to be new changes, and it's being exploited by every industry. Corrections in general has lagged behind other industries, but it's now starting to jump on board and recognizing that many of the functions that they perform can be improved through the use of technology. So that's key. Kind of the second factor is really necessity. Over the years, the population on their community supervision has changed. Prison overcrowding and the high cost of incarceration have forced the criminal justice system to funnel offenders into community-based programming who would otherwise be sentenced to prison. So the population under probation and parole is somewhat changing. This combined with the fact that most community-based correctional agencies are underfunded, so now they have less resources to manage a larger and somewhat more difficult population. So they're looking more and more to technologies for ways to streamline their processes, to increase efficiencies, and to help them manage these difficult offenders in the community. The other factor, I hope this is a factor, is the establishment of the National Law Enforcement and Corrections Technology Center system. This system was created by NIJ, the National Institute of Justice, specifically to work with criminal justice agencies and scientists and private industry to foster technological innovations that will result in new products and services and systems for the criminal justice system. In doing so, we've played an important role in raising awareness within the field about how technology can enhance agencies' mission performance. So all these factors combined really are attributed to the increase in the use of technology.
Those are all very good points, especially I think you're right with the last one, and we will give the web address where people can get more information on the NLECTC later on. Can you discuss maybe one or two products or innovations that you're seeing increased use in the field? You mentioned electronic monitoring, but what else is out there and is beginning to be used more often?
There is so much right now, Keith, and stop me if I run on too long. It's really an exciting time to be involved in technology, specifically for community corrections. One key area is non-invasive drug testing, getting a lot of attention out there in the field right now. For years, drug testing and urinalysis were synonymous. Okay, whenever we talked about drug testing, it was always a urine test. And urinalysis, obviously, is the tried and true method, but there are disadvantages with that. Obviously, urine samples are notoriously vulnerable to tampering and adulteration. Mm-hmm. It's often been said that a urine test is really a measure of intelligence because of the variety of ways that are available to feed a urine test.
Right.
So, you know, there are gender issues and health issues when you handle the urine sample. The process of collecting a sample can be time-consuming and is really unpleasant for staff and offenders. So more and more agencies are looking for alternatives to complement your analysis. Techniques such as oral fluid testing, sweat testing, hair testing are becoming more and more commonplace. Eye scan or pupillometry is a technique that's really seeing increased usage. This technique exposes the offender's eye to a light source and then measures the pupil's reaction to that light. And then using sophisticated computer software, they're able to determine within minutes whether or not the person has been using drugs. So that's kind of one of the areas that is seeing increased use. Other areas, sex offender management. Many agencies are looking at computer forensics tools to help them monitor their offenders. While the internet has made our lives easier and perhaps better in a lot of ways, it obviously can be misused. The internet will be used to broadcast this live talk discussion, but at the same time, a pedophile out there is using it to share images with fellow pedophiles or to arrange a meeting with a potential victim.
Right.
This is a situation that really didn't exist 10 or 15 years ago. In today's world, it's not reasonable to expect an officer to be able to effectively supervise a sex offender without having access to his computer and seeing what's going on. So we're seeing a lot of increased use in computer forensics tools that can be used in the field to quickly scan an offender's computer and locate inappropriate materials, as well as monitoring software that can be installed right on the offender's computer.
Hmm. Very interesting. Now, if that's kind of what's being used now, let's leap ahead a few years, and what do you see on the horizon as one or two areas or maybe one or two types of technologies that can possibly aid the field of community corrections?
One really neat kind of technology on the horizon is continuous remote substance abuse monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're talking about here is the ability to monitor an offender's ingestion of drugs or alcohol 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without the active participation of the offender and without the need to have the offender and the officer in the same location.
Wow.
So it's equivalent to, let's say, GPS or what, you know, drugs or alcohol, what's going on within the person's body. There is an alcohol detection product that's currently being field tested in a couple of sites throughout the country that consists of an anklet that obviously goes around the offender's ankle and collects ethanol that migrates through the offender's skin and stores readings throughout the day. In the evening, the offender returns home and the anklet communicates with a smart modem in the offender's home and then relays all the information about the readings throughout the day to a central monitoring station. So what you have is a 24-hour surveillance, basically, of the person's use of alcohol. Early reports from the field have been very favorable, and there's a lot of research being going on, particularly at the federal level, to explore the feasibility of a similar type system that could detect drugs. So basically what you have is a system that could help monitor the offender's drug and alcohol use without active participation of the officers. Tremendous cost savings and savings of staff time.
Wow, that's amazing. If you're just joining us, if you're just tuning in, we are talking about community corrections technologies with Joe Russo of the National Law Enforcement and Corrections Technology Center. Now, there is an upcoming conference the NLECTC is holding to discuss some of the topics we're talking about today, Joe. Is that right? And can you tell us a little bit about that upcoming conference?
That's right, Keith. A little background. A few years ago, we kind of recognized that technology was playing an increasingly more important role in community corrections. We also recognized that there was no event specifically dedicated to technology and community corrections. We stepped in and hosted the first conference back in 1999, and the response has been so great from community corrections agencies that the conference has been institutionalized and is now an annual event. The next conference will be in Arlington, Virginia on June 2nd to the 4th. And really the main purpose of the conference is to spotlight the use of technology that will enhance an agency's mission performance. The conference consists of 32 workshops and 4 tracks, and they are drug testing, electronic monitoring, information systems, and management issues. And most of the workshops are presented by practitioners who provide an honest appraisal about the technology, what works, what doesn't work, what implementation issues they face, and so on. Other workshops provide a glimpse at new technologies or technologies in development that may one day be available for agencies to help them do their jobs better. An exhibit hall will be available for practitioners to interact with the vendors and developers of technology. And the registration cost is $125, and we set that low to cover the costs of meals that are provided at the conference. So we try to make it available to most folks.
Great. Now, who should attend this particular conference, and how can they benefit from going and getting this information?
Well, really anyone who's working in community corrections, whether it's probation, parole, pretrial, work release, who has an interest in learning about how technology can help them do their jobs more effectively, efficiently, or more safely, should attend. Every level of the chain of command, from the chief who authorizes the technology purchase, to the manager who implements it, to the line officer who might ultimately benefit from that technology, could benefit from this conference. One of the major benefits is to be able to hear from agencies across the country report out on their technology projects and the issues that they faced in implementing that project. But equally important is the ability to network and establish contacts with colleagues from across the country. Remember, this is a very focused conference. We only deal with technology issues for community corrections. So the practitioners attending all share that same very narrow focused interest.
Interesting. And there is, obviously, in corrections, a great benefit to that, like you said, that lessons learned kind of aspect of, you know, I've heard of this technology, or a vendor approached me about this technology. What do you think?
It's very it's invaluable, the ability to learn from other people's experiences without having to kind of reinvent the wheel every time. It's just invaluable.
Excellent. Finally, Joe, what advice can you give community corrections practitioners in terms of reviewing and choosing technologies when they are looking at, you know, what can I bring into my agency?
Right. I guess the best advice I could give is for agencies to maintain perspective when they're evaluating technology. It's very easy to succumb to the gee whiz factor, you know, to be overwhelmed by a particular technology so much so that we purchase it and then figure out how to use it later or what application it could serve later on. Agencies have to be careful and kind of do a balancing act. You know, they have to be open and willing to consider new technology, you know, something that might seem off the wall and, you know, that could never work. They kind of have to be aware and at least open to the possibility of it. But at the same time, they can't be in awe of it. They can't, you know, let that drive their decision-making. On the other hand, they also have to have the mindset that technology is simply a tool that can help them do their job better, and be aware not to let the tool end up dictating how the job gets done. That's very important. Also, I would say agencies need to always keep in mind when they're looking at technology, you know, how will this technology enhance our mission performance? Any technology that they look at should always relate back to their goals and should support their goals. Now, that's not to say that people should keep in mind that technology is not always the answer. Agencies should conduct a thorough analysis to determine the true nature of their problem or their issue. In some cases, the solution to that issue might not be technology at all. It might be more training or a different staff member or just a streamlined process. But if technology can be a factor, can help, there are a lot of issues that folks need to keep in mind. Probably first and foremost is community corrections will always be a people profession. Any technology that they consider should not try to replace staff, but rather complement them and help them function more efficiently and effectively, and allow time for these staff members to work directly with the clientele. Again, technology should always be a means to an end, should always support and be in alignment with an agency's mission. That's key. Another key factor, technology does not have to be cutting edge to be effective. It doesn't have to be the latest, greatest to do the job. Agencies need to focus on their needs more so than the product's capabilities. Okay, don't get blinded by the light, so to speak. Just focus on what you need and try and match that. Also important, every technology has non-technical aspects. Obviously, a technology is only as good as the quality of the staff who's using it, how well they're trained, and the procedures that guide how it is to be used.
Excellent. That's fantastic advice. Excellent. That concludes today's Live Talk. Thank you again to Joe Russo, who is Corrections Program Manager for the National Law Enforcement and Corrections Technology Center. Joe, thank you very much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Great. And always, thank you to our audience as well. Now, for more information on the NLECTC and their upcoming conference on community corrections technologies, be sure to head to www.nlectc.org. And for more information on community corrections technologies, be sure to read this week's articles on corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Keith Martin.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.